Amen. That was precious, wasn't it? A little slideshow and everything. Amen. Graduates moving on into the world. That's cool. That's awesome. Shannon and Cassie. I know that we really don't know you, Lynn and I. You know, we really hadn't got a chance to really get to know you guys, but we've been praying for you, and we wish we would have been here to get to know you guys. But we do wish you the best, and amen. So, awesome. Well, good morning. Hang with me, okay? We're going to go over a little bit today, but I got to get this message out. The Lord's put something on my heart about this beatitude. If you're joining us this morning, we've been going through the Beatitudes. And so we feel like that this is an important time, the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus was teaching us how to live a Christian life. And this is one of the most important messages, I believe. You know, they're all important, definitely. But understanding at least the basics of the Beatitudes, I think, is really, really important. So we're going to jump right into that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for these graduates, Lord. I thank you for their life and their dedication to you. We do pray blessings over their life, Lord. You said the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by God, so we trust that their lives are ordered by you, and that you have good plans for them, plans to prosper them. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this message this morning. We pray and ask you to bless it and help me teach this so that it can be understood and it can change our lives. And we just give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. If you've missed a couple Sundays, I believe that Derry has it updated on the website, so you can go and listen to the first couple Beatitudes. If you want to catch up on that, you can do it in your car or truck on the way to work or do it at home. We do encourage folks to keep up with the messages because they build on each other, right? They build on each other. The first four Beatitudes, sometimes in the world's eye, can come across sort of negative or something, you know, and then the last four come across kind of positive. But they all come together and they all flow on each other. And it's really exciting. So let's go ahead in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. So I'm going to read. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who were hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. Last week we studied verse 4, and I kind of want to go just a little 1 or 2 minute overview of last week. Last week's verse was, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And we learned to mourn means to allow ourselves to be sad over sin in our personal life, which leads to repentance. And also, we understand the word mourn from last week to mean that we can be sad. It's okay to be sad over our troubles that we may be going through in life because this leads to proper grieving. We also learned last week that it's good for us to mourn or be sad over the lost world, our lost neighbors or our lost family members. It's okay. Jesus was an example of that because he looked out at the people. He did what? He wept. He cried for them. And lastly, we learned that mourning is good for us when we're able to help other people. when other people are going through troubles and situations in life that cause them to feel sad, or it's okay for us to mourn and get in there and mourn with them and help our brother and sister as they go through this. So Jesus was teaching this. He also said that mourning process is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, which produces poverty of the spirit, which leads to godly sorrow, which leads to a spiritually mature Christian prepared for battle and equipped for ministry. That's kind of what we looked at last week. So today, let's look at verse 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, we remember from our studies that blessed means what? Basically, in the Greek, blessed means happy, to be happy with a vibrant heart, a heart full of enthusiasm for God and for the kingdom work and for Jesus and for a lost world. So let's take a closer look this morning at this Bible verse, "Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth." We're going to look at meekness, and we're going to look at inheriting the earth and what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. Now, meekness, if we look at the word meek in the Greek, it means mildness of disposition. It means a gentle spirit. It means being humble, likened to a humble obedience. Humble obedience. Now, what does meekness look like? And we all know that Jesus, right, was the perfect example of meekness. But I want to draw our attention to Moses. Okay, Moses, there's a lot of great biblical examples of someone who's meek or walking in the spirit of meekness. Now, Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth." Wow, that's strong, isn't it? Basically, the Bible's telling us that Moses was the most humble person on the planet. That's a very bold statement. Now, Moses never, if you really study Moses' life, he never really trusted in himself. In fact, there were many times when he was afraid to do what God was telling him to do, because he thought that he wasn't qualified. And we covered that a couple Sunday ago too. But Moses, somewhere down the line, he came to realize, kind of like the old saying goes, God never calls the qualified, he qualifies the called. And that's an old saying. Even Pastor Jim talked to me a little bit on Sunday night. We had the fifth Sunday night sing. I spent some time with him a little bit privately, and I feel like I need to do that. I need to have a mentor. I need someone. And so he's kind of took me under his wing, and we had a really good talk Sunday night. He was really blessed me, and he had reminded me of that, you know. But anyway, so let's look at the characteristics of what Jesus is trying to teach us here about a person who's walking in the spirit of meekness. Okay, here's some of the characteristics. They have a teachable heart. They're patient, and they trust God. They commit their way to the Lord, and they do not seek revenge. They feel no need to defend themselves. So listen to this. Meekness is the supernatural power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing back. I mean, that's difficult, isn't it? What we're talking about here is Jesus teaching us about a person walking in the spirit of meekness. Okay? Meekness is a sign of spiritual maturity. If you look at Colossians 3:12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. It's like meekness is understanding and accepting that God Almighty owns everything. And He's in charge of everything. You see, God owns our house. He owns our clothes. He owns our automobiles. He owns this church. He owns our career, our future. He owns our friends and our country. He owns the entire world. And in every detail of our life, He owns it. It's His. It was bought with a price. We talked about that in the Lord's Prayer, right? And here's the thing. God can do whatever He wants to do with it all. He's sovereign. Psalms 24:1. See, what we're getting at, guys, is someone who has walking in the spirit of meekness. And we can't do this in our own. You know, this is only through the Holy Spirit and through God working in our heart and our life. Let's see, Psalms 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It's His. Very familiar verse, John 1:1-3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made." As we're talking about mature Christian walking in meekness. You see, this person can rest. Everybody say rest. Yes. This person can rest in the spiritual truth, and they can walk with a quiet, strong confidence. Not in their self. No, not in self. But in understanding and accepting, it's all about God. It's all about what He wants to accomplish in this world. It's all about what He wants to accomplish at Pauline Baptist Church. It's all about what He wants to accomplish in Brooks County and Lowndes County in South Georgia. And it's all about what He wants to accomplish in us and through us. Amen. We really don't have the time on a Sunday morning to really get into the Beatitudes and what Jesus was really trying to teach us in the big picture. But please understand this, guys. Meekness is not weakness. I'm going to say that again. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness does not mean shy or reserved or passive or withdrawn. And sometimes we all do it. Sometimes we see a man or a woman that's kind of shy and timid and they're kind of reserved and off to themselves and kind of isolate. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll say, "Look at that guy. He's such a humble man. Well, look at that lady. She's so humble." And sometimes that may be true. We don't know. We're not supposed to judge like that. But I'm telling you, most of the time, that's not the case at all. Most of the time, those folks are operating in the sphere of man. The fear of man, which bounds them up in fear and worry and they're worried about approval stuff. We covered that on Wednesday night, right? Approval and performance and these kind of things. Sometimes that's the case. See, guys, a meek person that Jesus is talking about, a meek person is not a wimp. Sorry for my colorful word there, but that's me. I can change that, right? Is not a wimp, and they do not need approval from man. The young guys, man, listen to this message, right? You guys going off to college. You guys in high school, middle school. You see, a meek person that Jesus is talking about, like King David or Moses or other examples, but King David, he didn't have to automatically jump up to defend himself either, did he? Because he knew that God would defend him. God would take care of his back. He didn't have to jump up and try to steal the glory or say, I did this or I did that, or because I'm this way or I'm good at this, or this is my ministry, this is my church, this is my business. It's all God's, isn't it? It's all His. Matthew 23:12. Talking about King David. Matthew 23:12 says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God will exalt us when He feels like He's ready to do that, if He ever does. We may work behind the scenes for the rest of our life on earth. That's okay, isn't it? If that's God's plan for your life. 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. A person walking in the spirit of meekness will demonstrate a humbleness that is quiet, gentle, strong, and emotionally secure. Amen? Kind of reminds me of them, not to try to joke around, but kind of reminds me a little bit of them kung fu guys, you know? You know what I mean? Gentle and humble, like Mr. Miyagi maybe or something, you know? But time get there, boy, they could put it on, you know? Spirit of meekness. Now let's look at the second part of this verse. Okay? They will inherit the earth. Jesus is teaching us that they will inherit the earth. Now when you study this Greek and you study the message behind this, it says, the inherit the earth means, this is what it means, to impact it, to influence it, to have a leadership role in the earth. That's what it means. You study, to inherit the earth. Means to impact, to make an impact in this earth. It means to influence and have leadership in it. Now, with this verse, it's going to look a couple of times. It says they will inherit the earth partially now and completely at the end of this world as we know it. Now, this is a big, remarkable promise that Jesus said. And basically, it's from Psalms 37:11. When David again was saying, Psalms 37:11, David said, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. You see, most of this inheriting the earth is in the age to come. But it also means in this age now. See, in the age to come, it's talking about they're in the 1,000-year millennial of Christ. Anybody who studied that? It's awesome. They're in the 1,000-year millennial of Christ and millennial reign. And as Jesus sets up the new heaven and the new earth, we're going to rule. And we're going to have, like Paul was talking about in the book of James, we talked about a little bit there. Here's a Bible verse. I'm just going to read it to you. It's Revelation 21. If Derek could put it up, I want you all to follow along with me. Every time I read this, it fires me up. I mean, it gets my juices flowing. Well, I'm ready to take off like a human space shuttle. So I'm going to read it without getting foolish up here. Is that all right? So here we go. Revelations 21, verse 1 through 7. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed by her husband. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed.'" Now listen to this. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Amen. So in this present day now, that's glory to God. That's what's in the future. That's in the age to come. We will inherit this old earth, and God's going to recreate this old earth and heaven. And we're going to live forever and ever with him. But today, right now, as Christians, as we mature in Christ, we begin to walk in the spirit of meekness, we should have influence in this age. To inherit the earth means to impact it, to have influence, to have leadership roles in this earth. That goes for every Christian. I believe Christ is talking to all of us. He wants all of us to have some sort of leadership role within whatever God's calling you to do with your own personal ministry. Whether it's a Sunday school class, or whether you just bake cookies for the neighbors. But whatever God's calling you to do for the kingdom, even if you're only impacting one or two people, part of God's plan is for you to touch those one or two or three people. Amen? As we walk in the spirit of meekness, Jesus is really saying, he will give the meek authority and influence in this earth to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to build the kingdom of God now and in this age to come. Amen? All right, so let's close. Father, I pray, Lord. I just pray, Father, that this word would go into the hearts of the folks. Lord Jesus, you've challenged me about this meekness. You've challenged me in some areas I need to change and repent of. Father, I pray, God, that this word would go. And you said your word would go forth and would not turn void. That was due what it was supposed to be doing in the earth. Father, I trust your word in this. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as a personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would draw them into salvation. That they would maybe come up and come down and talk with me, pray with me. Father, if there's one here that would like to join the church, or maybe someone would like to get baptized, you put it on their heart maybe to get baptized, Lord, I pray that they would come down and talk to us. Lord, we just give it to you. Thank you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.